This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday the 2nd of February and you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and we're going to be joined later in the show for a catch-up with the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. But I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsors. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with the Tenterton and District Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the areas covered by Tenterton and its surrounding villages of Appledore, Benenden, Betherston, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rolvenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittersham and Woodchurch. The Chamber exists to promote the sustainable economic development of this area and to provide a collective voice for the area's businesses. You can find out all about the Chamber by going to their website, which is www.tentertonchamber.com. .org. So big thank you to them and do check them out. We got lots to talk about today on today's show. Lots of things to bring you up to date with. We got two fantastic guests that we're going to be hearing from later. And as I said, we're going to be catching up soon with Jules. We'd love to hear from you, though, as always, the people out there in the southeast of England and further afield. I've had some tweets this morning from the lovely Nurse Liz over in Pennsylvania on the east coast of the US, where according to her pictures and her shovel, it is snowing quite heavily. So they've had about 3 inches of snow. So thank you for that, Liz, and I hope you're safe shoveling the snow and you get a chance to sit down for a cup of tea and a biscuit and listen to the Business Bunker Show. Right, but do tweet me. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb and include the hashtag BBunker so that I can find you. We have had a few tweets in already from some of my favourite people, the lovely Bev and Tony at Chips and Chimps. What happened there? Chips and Dinks. And they say, well, it wouldn't be Tuesday without the Business Bunker Show to keep us updated and entertained. Hoping we finish with the noise and machinery so that we can listen live, or it will be on the catch-up. Have a great show. Well, thank you for that. Do you know what? It could be a bit noisy here as well. The lift's broken. And there's some workmen banging around with hammers, you know, because when it breaks, you hit it with a hammer, don't you, until it starts working again. So if you hear any clunking, it's the lift repair men here. What else have we had? Tracy Ann Barker, Tabba _ official on the Twitter. She says, have another great show, Paul and Jules, and on the Business Bunker Show. Thank you very much, Tracy Ann. That's very kind of you. Supply My Business, last chance to book the Marsh Network. I've got some details about that later, so I'll let you know about how to book that later on. The next one is actually tomorrow, Wednesday, manana. What else have we got? Ash Lawrence, if you've been forced into self-employment because of COVID or a new business, then have a look at this free webinar with three great hacks that will help you smash your goals. And this webinar is called ACT, Action Cures Things. And you can find out all about it. It's a free webinar by going to hashtag, that's ASHTAG.team/web. hashtag.team/web. I love that. I see what you did there, Ash. That's really clever. Check that out. And Ash also says, come on, everybody, get yourself tuned into the Business Bunker Show. The lovely folks at DG East have also tweeted and they say, how about a shout out today, Paul, for a hard working vehicle supplier? And could you also, that's DG East, they supply all kinds of vehicles, they do all kinds of vehicle management for you. And they've also said, could you mention Tenterton Ted, which is supporting local businesses? Now, we're going to be finding out more about that in a week or so's time when they come on the show to talk about it. But as I understand it, Tenterton Ted is a promotional thing involving a cuddly toy that may or may not be a teddy bear. So do stay tuned to find out more about that. But in the meantime, big shout out to DG East, the vehicle suppliers. And Le Brocklebank says, hello. Hi, Ella. Big shout out for Whitcomb HR. We've got some great blogs from Wickham HR actually as well on alternatives to redundancy and the power of having an employee handbook. Both of those can be found on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/blogs. You'll find them both there, both really interesting blogs and well worth a read. And the lovely Kim Stevens from Care in Kent. She says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker for all the Care in Kent home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. A massive thank you to our Care in Kent teams for their outstanding care and devotion every single day. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. Stay safe. And that's from Kim. Of course we will, Kim. And fantastic. Well done to all the people caring for other people, especially at this very difficult time. And they deserve our applause and our thoughts and our warmth. So if you do see them out, give them a wave, Care in Kent team, and the lovely Lisa Settle, who says, really interesting Business Bunker to look forward to today. So thank you for that, Lisa. Some news and information. MHA McIntyre Hudson, the accounting firm, they've got a webinar going on, and the long anticipated extension of the new IR 35 rules into the private sector will start on the 6th of April. These major employment tax changes will affect any medium or large size business who engage individuals via personal service companies. So of course they'll affect the individuals with personal service companies too. These end clients will have significant new obligations to assess the employment tax status of PSC contractors who work for them and to operate PAYE NIC accordingly. Experience suggests that businesses in the private sector will need all the time available to them to prepare for the changes given the potential challenges around labour supply issues, business continuity issues and liabilities to pay PAYE NIC plus interest and penalties. Please join our MHA IR 35 specialists on the 25th of February to hear how these new rules will work, how they'll affect your business and consider what you should be doing now to ensure that your business is compliant from the 6th of April. So to register for this event, if you go to www.mcintyrehudson.co.uk/events, that's www.mcintyrehudson.co.uk/events, and you can find out all about that IR 35 webinar. It's going to be a nightmare, isn't it? I mean, it's an utterly ludicrous piece of legislation in the first place. And it looks to me designed to hurt small businesses, because although the impact is on larger businesses, of course there are lots of people that are self-employed as freelancers and contractors, and I really don't understand why the government have gone down that route. I understand what they're trying to do, but I don't see why that method is useful at all in trying to achieve what they're trying to achieve without destroying a lot of small businesses. But there you go. I mentioned earlier when Supply My Business mentioned it, that the Marsh Network, and the next one is Manana Wednesday tomorrow. It's at 10:30 a.m. 3rd of February on Zoom. And Terry, for it is he, says the bookings are going well. Make sure of your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh, where you can find the bookings. And he says anyone attending the meeting for the first time can come free. So bring a contact with you or mention the meeting to your network. This will help to grow our network even faster. And if you want to arrange anything like that, just email him at terry@botfield.net. Join organisations from across Kent and East Sussex for relaxed professional networking. Grow your business and your network. And that's from Terry Botfield of Marsh Networking. Mid-Kent College, based in both Maidstone and Medway. Our next online open event is going live on Wednesday the 10th of March, but registration is now open. There's a Q&A webinars, a catch-up, live chat for your questions, application support, student finance and learning support, and they say we look forward to virtually meeting you. So if you or anyone you know would like to find out more about the courses available at Mid-Kent College, they have an open event Wednesday the 10th of March. If you go to www.midkent.ac.uk/news/open days, that's midkent.ac.uk/news/open days, you can find out all about their online open day event on the 10th of March. Right. Darren was asking me on Twitter, that's the Darren from Intune PR. So he was asking me what the cheesy tunage is, and he's just sent me a message. I said it will be in honour of Daryl, who's our first guest, and he said the song on before you is awful, so good contrast. Okay, thanks for that, Darren. We shall see what you think. Anyway, let's have some cheesy tunage, and then we're going to hear from our guest. Knock on wood, the lovely Amy Stewart there. I hope you approve of that, Darren. But there you go. And that's kind of in honour of our first guest. And we're going to hear from today, Mr. Daryl Woodhead. You see what I did there? Sorry about that, Daryl. My cheesy tunage is incredibly cheesy. We're going to hear from Daryl shortly. Daryl is an expert in strategy, productivity and workplace well-being. He's an international speaker, consultant, coach, mentor and lecturer on business. I'll tell you what, let's go and listen to what Daryl had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show, Mr. Daryl Woodhouse. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us. It's been ages since I last saw you.
It has, Paul, hasn't it? I'm sorry it's been so long, but it's really great to see you and connect again. And to hear you in our remote world that we're currently in.
I know, it's a bit bizarre, isn't it? It's a bit weird, but there you go. I guess we're all adapting to it now, and we're almost a year into it, so we're kind of getting ready. I was trying to remember when it was you were last on. It was an awful long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a good, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, actually.
yeah, it must be, yeah. Well, that's very remiss of us. We should have invited you back sooner.
Well, maybe you've only just recovered from when I was last on.
Yeah, it could be that. Why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a little bit about you and about what you've been up to? Because you're kind of on a journey as well, aren't you, in terms of the things that you've been doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're all on a journey from the day we're born to our last day. The journey is often full of changes of direction and ups and downs, highs and lows. I guess to give a quick intro for myself, in terms of my work career, the first half of it was in the corporate leadership world and worked my way up into a national role for a FTSE top 10 corporate, age 26 when I started that national role. So I was seen as a bit of a high flyer, which was nice. But I didn't do anything particularly special, just worked really hard and long hours. And I was very ambitious and determined to build a good career and provide for my family. And there's a lesson from that coming, which I'll tell you about in a moment. When I was in that national corporate role, it was good. I learned a few things and a lot of things and had some great training in that corporate career. But it wasn't quite where my heart was long term. So long story short, I started my first business in 2012, which I scaled up to 7 figures revenue in the first few years. And that business, Advantage of Business Partnerships, built a team where we work with small businesses and scale up businesses and corporate companies. And we provide a range of different services and solutions to help those businesses to grow or improve, or in some cases, sadly, to restructure and turn around.
Sure. So, yeah, absolutely.
So we've got specialists for different occasions and different stages of the growth curve, a mix of consulting, mentoring, non-exec and training programs for leadership teams. And in the last couple of years, I've let that business grow more organically so I could pursue my entrepreneurial side further. So I've been investing in different technology companies. I became one of the youngest business lecturers at Executive Business School in London, which has been really rewarding and interesting, actually. And then in 2016, I suffered a major burnout, which was a combination of two things colliding. I touched on it earlier deliberately, working really hard, long hours, long days, 6-7 days a week. Yep. In that corporate career, and my body had been telling me for years that I need to slow down, I was doing too much, and you know, all this kind of stuff. But I kept going because one of my previous corporate bosses, God bless him, was aware of some of these physical symptoms that I was displaying, and he said, well, if you want to keep progressing and you want to be successful, you've got to, that's part of it, you've got to take the stress, you've got to put the hours in. So I just kind of normalized it for me, so I kept going. But I managed it for all those years, and I managed it when I was building my business. But when a personal tragedy in my private life in 2016 occurred, which can happen to anyone, you know, it's stuff that can happen to anyone, that combined with the long hours and the high responsibilities at work just made everything too much. And that's when I fell into a big cycle of burnout, depression, and I'll save all the details for another time, but sure. It wasn't a very good place. And coming back from that, to get to a point of a 4-day working week, and by no coincidence finding that my productivity and my business success got a lot greater and I was happier in life, I decided to take that story to the stage. So I've been developing myself in the last few years as a keynote speaker, doing awareness of mental health and burnout prevention. And then my previous kind of leadership and business building skill comes in, because how do I help people to avoid burnout in the workplace and to improve well-being? I do it through some skills I've developed on how to have a life-work balance, how to get more from your working day, how to have clearer lines between when work starts, when it ends, when life starts, when it ends, and a lot of stuff about how we can increase our performance results by using our strengths more, for example. Yeah. And I can talk a little bit later, give a bit of advice to everyone listening today on the piece of methodology I call the Strength in a Trio. And it's a really simple way that I can share with everyone today that can help them literally achieve quite transformational improvements in their work performance, and they can work less off the back of it as well. So
cool. We look forward to hearing that. I just want to come in and kind of ask a couple of things and make a couple of observations of my own. It's interesting, isn't it? In a corporate setting, you quite often hear of burnout, overwork, stress, and all those kind of things. And then a lot of us go, do you know what? I'm going to start my own business. And of course, starting your own business is no less stressful and no less work or anything. But isn't it a funny thing? And I'd like your view on this, Daryl. I think there's a major difference between being put under pressure in a corporate setting to work hard and actually working for yourself. And what I mean by that is that if your life's in tune with what you're doing in your own business, it doesn't feel so stressful, even though there's loads of stressful things and there's loads of issues to deal with. Whereas if you're just in a corporate setting and you're on a treadmill, that I think that adds to the burnout. I'd like your views on that.
Yeah, thanks for asking, Paul. No, it's there's so many great skills I learned from having that work career first, and the corporate leadership and strategy development and the people skills I developed. But there was stuff I remember, and you'll remember this, Paul, yourself. In the first few years, things in your business that you have to do, it's not in any textbook, it's not in any course you can go on. Technical things, administrative type things, infrastructure, legal things, corporate governance, it goes on and on and on. So there's definitely a different kind of stress when you have your own business. There are some pros and cons. You get to be your own boss. You can, to an extent, you can choose when you start and when you finish work. A lot of people go into starting their own business a little bit sort of blinkered, and probably even me, I did as well, to be honest, to start with. There's just so much that you need to know to be successful in business. The odds, there are high odds of failure. 50% of businesses don't survive the first year. Sure. Only 1 in 10 survive the first 10 years. Yeah. But so it sounds like, you know, odds of failure are quite high. Yeah. Yeah. But when you analyze the top reasons why businesses fail, and this is some of the stuff I teach with my business coaching clients, it's not actually any rocket science. You just need to invest a little bit of your time and some of your startup funding, let's say, to get some professional help, get some mentoring, read the right books, so you can learn about why most businesses fail. And then you can make sure, and then you just simply need to make time in your business plan and your activities to cater to each of those top failure reasons, to make sure that you're building strong foundations in the business, and also not trying to be the expert at everything. I always say, where possible, even if it means having part-time staff initially or freelance support, because your spending power might be limited, stick to what you do best and what you really want to do, and outsource or hire for the rest. Yeah. And you know, that's how all the most successful leaders in small, big companies, you don't catch them doing stuff that often that they don't enjoy or they're not professionally trained in. Yeah. And you're making life a lot harder if you don't invest in that kind of support from the beginning, because you're trying to juggle and spend in a lean way, but you're actually holding yourself back.
Yeah, I think that is so incredibly important for small businesses and startups. You know, most people start a business based on their professional or trade expertise. Yeah. And their professional or trade expertise does not include bookkeeping, VAT, managing a business, managing cash flow, yada, 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 managing health and safety, managing all the regulations and rules and admin that we have to do. And it therefore becomes increasingly, and I think that's where the stress comes in, is that people are then deflected from what it is they enjoy doing. You know, if they're a plumber, they like fixing sinks, or, you know, if they're a florist, they like arranging flowers. Mm-hmm. But when they have to sit there at night doing the VAT returns and looking at their cash flow and stuff like that, that's when the stress starts to get to them. And and so many people, because they own a business, try to do it all themselves. And I think that is a glaring mistake. You know, unless you genuinely want to learn bookkeeping, unless you genuinely want to learn HR, why not work with someone? Why not get some support? And and there are lots of ways, without, you know, moving away from what you do, but there are lots of ways of getting support. You know, there are business organizations that will provide a basic level of support just as a member. But even finding a mentor, I think, is a massive step forward for most people.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why, you know, even though, you know, I built, you know, my first business as a, you know, my first scale up, I guess, you know, where a key part of our services was providing professional mentoring and business coaching to businesses. Because that was our service, I felt it was important to practice what I preach. So over the years, I've always had, throughout the year, typically at least two different mentors helping me that I'm paying for. Right. You know, and every year I'll do a mentor swap, and I'll like a sponge, I'll learn as much as I can from a mentor in 1 year. And then, you know, there's a kind of a shelf life to that, because then I'll have learned everything I need to know from them to help me with where I'm at in that phase, and then my challenges will be different for the following year. So then I go and find, you know, who's the best mentor to help me with the next best challenge or the next stage of the growth journey, because challenges and the expertise is different for startup through to scale up through to corporate and stock market listed companies. So you know, it's a really, really important thing that I've benefited from myself.
I think that's an incredibly important point. I think so many of us overlook that there are mentors that suit you at different stages of your journey as well. And that's no reflection on the mentor. You know, it's a horse for a course, basically. And I think, do you know what? I don't really think I've heard anybody mention that before.
Oh, wow. There we go.
And I think that's an incredibly insightful thing, because it is clearly rational and true.
I'll give you a little story. It's a referral, customer referral I got last week, actually. So it's a new client I picked up through one of my monthly online workshops, which is nice. Really nice guy, actually. Really successful business. He wants to scale it up, move it away from more of a lifestyle business into a business that can run without him, where he's not working 70 plus hours a week, is what he told me. So we were talking, and we're doing a free consultation for him, giving him some pointers ahead of doing a more formal proposal for him. And as we were talking, he said, "Oh, okay, so do you know this organization?" And he mentioned one of our competitors. And I said, "Oh, yeah, I know them." And he said, "Yeah, I was talking to him the other day, because he was telling me about his business coach. And that business coach helped him get from 2 million revenue to 5 million revenue over a 2-year period." And I was like, that's brilliant. That's a, you know, great coach. That's a really good result. He said, "Yeah, but hold on." He said, he's carried on working with the coach for 3 years since he got to 5 million, and his turnover is still the same. and then he said to his friend, "Isn't it, maybe that coach isn't working for you anymore? Do you need to maybe change coach or have a break from it or something?" So he was actually, even though he's not a coach, he was just through common sense coaching his friends. So anyway, that's turned into a really nice referral for me, where we're looking to now take that business from 5 million to 10 million over 2 or 3 years. And there was nothing wrong with the business coach. It's just that business coach specialized in taking companies from literally 2 million to 5 million. And it just now needed someone that can now now kick it on to another level. And there you go. But, you know, we see this thing happens a lot. And it's why with our clients at ABP, we do insist on at least once a year, we assess the need for a coach swap. Because sometimes the client does get a bit more from the individual coach, and it can go on for longer. But at least to have that conversation once a year, at least we've been proactive about it. And, you know, we want to help make sure clients' money is really well spent, especially when, you know, we're in this really, really tough trading period at the moment, thanks to, and we won't say the name, of course, because we don't want to we don't want to go there today, Paul.
No, absolutely.
But a certain global pandemic that I heard some recent party goers who were caught by police, they'd never heard of this global pandemic.
Really?
Which is why they're having this big party. Yeah, this big house party. It was in London 2 weeks ago.
When I live in a
amazing.
Cave. It's unbelievable.
I think Major White Lie, I think, is the answer.
I was going to say, okay. Do you think the cops went, oh, blimey, yeah, well, don't worry about it then. Oh, dear. You know, you raised some fascinating and insightful things there, Daryl, and I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things you said that also intrigued me, because I think it is absolutely true, is you mentioned a client who, using common sense, could see what somebody else was doing and not doing. And I think that's also a huge thing, isn't it? When we're outside of the loop, looking in, we can all be kind of, oh, you don't want to do it like that. You want to get that, you know. But when it's us and we're under the cosh, we seem to think incredibly differently, and we find it very difficult to open up and see things from an external point of view, if you like. And I that is one of the major benefits of a coach or a mentor or a sounding board or anybody you're going to talk to, is they've just got different eyes. They've just you know, they're not encumbered with some kind of psychological tie-in to the business, for want of a better way, because we all do it, you know. Once it's not our business, we all become coaches and mentors for everybody else, and go, you know, you ought to do it like that, or, you know, you don't want to do it like that, 100%. You want to do it like this. So it's interesting, isn't it?
Paul, you're like this then. So, Paul, what's your? I've never asked you this before. What's your favourite sports?
Football.
Okay, favourite team. Can we discuss that on air?
Yeah, Chelsea. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, end of show. No,
oh, you're not a Spurs supporter or anything, are you?
I'm a Red Devil, Paul.
Oh, are you? Oh, that's all right. We don't care about them.
That's what I was going to say about Chelsea.
Yeah.
But no, there's a really, you know, banter aside, you know, your favourite team, Paul, Chelsea Football Club. I'm being kind there by calling that. Every year they're trying to get fitter, stronger, faster, more technical, more skilled. It's not just a team of players coming together and doing some training together. They've got multiple coaches, they've got nutritionists, they've got sports scientists, they've got physios, you know, they've got a manager, several coaches, they've got director of football, whatever. And there's so much we can learn from sports about continuous improvement and getting outside help, fresh pair of eyes, having people to champion us, hold us accountable, push us on to breaking new records, whether that's new revenues, you know, beating your profit margin from one year to the next in your business.
It's just
a different way of, you know, stepping outside of our silo sort of business, what's in front of us mentality.
Absolutely. And it's a funny thing, you know, just sport in general, you know, not just football, but all kind of sport relies on coaches and performance specialists. You know, and these people, these men and women, sports people, are at the pinnacle of talent. Yet they still all employ coaches, they still all listen to people. And one of the funny things is, a lot of the most successful coaches weren't actually particularly good sports people.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and we could talk about my team, we could talk about your team. We recently, and you still have, an ex-player as manager. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be successful as a coach.
Yes.
And I could name, you know, because I'm a lot older than you, I could name lots of...
Yeah.
I could name really, really top world-class footballers that were massive failures as managers and coaches. There are one or two exceptions, obviously, of people that were good players that became good coaches.
Yeah.
But it just shows you that it isn't about always being able to do the thing yourself. There's actually a skill to coaching and mentoring.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is really crucially important. And then, of course, just to finish off on football, we have a particular thing in our club where we think it's easier just to change all the coaches every now and again because it gives everybody a G up.
God. Well, a friend of mine who does a lot of work in the sports world, actually, he told me that in the I think it was in the top tier of football at the moment, the average managerial job is 14 months.
Yeah.
Which is shocking, really. If you think about in the move it into our business owner and corporate leadership world, you know, I'd say we're lucky that in most cases we can survive more than 14 months. So, yes, a lot of competition.
And things have changed quite dramatically in the world of sport since my day. In my day, at the end of a game, we had pie and chips and a pint of beer and a fag after a game. I don't think they'd allow that now. I could tell you some stories about coaching and management from then as well. Anyway,
I've actually played at Chelsea as well, but at the ground, in a five-a-side tournament, sponsored by Barclays, would you believe? So was a good experience.
Cool. Okay, moving away from football back into general business, but it is important, you know, sport is a business and it is an elite business and there are very talented people in there, all of whom are coached and mentored right the way through their career. And again, I think a point to pick up on with that as well is that it also comes down to relationships. Yeah, you know, so you find certain elite sports people don't perform very well with some coaches, and then all of a sudden they burst into life with a kind of different thing and with a different coach or with a different regime. And I think that reinforces what you were saying earlier, Daryl, about where you are in your development. And the fact that you might want to change your coaches or mentors at some point to take you to another level.
Definitely. Yeah. So there's a few, I can give some points on this. So whenever, and actually I apply this to most aspects of my life, actually, when choosing relationships at home or at work, friendships, suppliers, coaches, colleagues and new recruits. And it's making sure you've got a good balance across things that are important to you when choosing relationships or hiring people. Personality, you know, that then there needs to be a match and complementary personality. There needs to be shared values or similar values. There needs to be a complementary match in terms of skills and then also experience, which you can touch on, you know, into our conversation about coach swapping and how the experience required is different at different stages of the business growth curve or in a future world class what would you call it? A World Cup winning football player. You know, the needs of his or her coaching support is going to be different. You know, when they start off at a younger age, they won't necessarily be able to afford one of the top coaches in the world as well. So that kind of comes into it. Sure. But there's just different things you need to be trained in at different stages, and then that's where experience, personality, values. Experience, values, skills, and personality. Those are the different areas.
Right. Okay. I just want to, we're kind of fast running out of time, and I just want to cover a few other bits and pieces. You mentioned in your introduction that you're doing some lecturing.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me a little bit about that and how you're finding that.
So it's amazing, actually. So you know, the business schools have a number of global clients, and those global clients will select from time to time a number of their emerging leaders and also existing leaders to go on and learn some new skills or relearn new skills around being effective leaders on a range of different topics. So I do a few different topics at the business schools, do a lot of stuff on digital transformation, right. How to future-proof careers and businesses in this digital world. Right. Before COVID, it was all in the classroom, and we've had to pivot now this year and do it all virtually, but right. That's fine. We make it work. But it's amazing because, you know, I've had clients from companies like Nokia, you know, it still employs, not many people realize Nokia has really diversified since the old, what was it, 310 or 6310, I think it was, when it was at its heyday. And obviously they went into major financial difficulties, but they've really pivoted actually, and they've got a range of different interests, and they employ 180,000 people very profitably. So amazing example of great leadership and innovation and pivoting and working through change.
Nokia have a history of pivoting, don't they? Because they started off as a paper making company.
Yeah, that's it, right? Well remembered.
And growing trees and stuff. Mm. And then in the early 90s, they were the world's number one mobile phone manufacturer. So they've done lots of different things. Mm. And, you know, despite all the ups and downs of their market, they keep going. So they're a kind of good example of, yes. of how to reinvent yourself when things change.
Yes, 100%.
So a nice one. Do you enjoy that lecturing side of it?
Yeah, I do. And I quite like it for the variety as well, because, you know, I get to do different types of delivery. You know, I do the on stage keynote speaking with audiences of, you know, 700, 800 people. I do the smaller classroom stuff. I do the one-to-one coaching, mentoring. I run workshops on workplace wellbeing and productivity in-house for larger companies. Again, it's all in-house on the virtual scene now as well. So we do it through lots of Zoom meetings. But it's good, because I think that's an entrepreneurial trait as well, to like variety. You know, I like it that no 1-2 days are the same. You know, and I can use different skills and methods of delivery. Keeps me interesting for me as well, and I get to meet lots of different people as well in different scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we tend to call that a portfolio career, and the concept of a portfolio career was first mooted back in the 70s by Professor Charles Handy. In a book he wrote called The Shamrock Organization, and where he talked about organizations doing different things, but then he talked about people you know, working for themselves and building a portfolio of different skills that they might have. And interestingly, a friend of mine, Ben Legg, who's ex-head of Google in Europe, he now runs portfolio workshops on how to structure a portfolio career. But you're absolutely right. Having those different strings to your bow, one, it gives you different income streams and different things, but it also breaks up the kind of work you do so that it doesn't become monotonous. You've got different things that you can do.
Definitely.
So I fully get that, and I like the sound of that. So from your point of view, now, where do we go from here? What's your view on what you're going to be doing to scale up your business, in assuming that you even want to scale up your business? Because it's not mandatory, is it? You know, a lot of people run lifestyle businesses because that's what they want to do. And as things are at the moment, that's not a bad idea, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a brilliant question, Paul. And, you know, my main business, the first business I started in 2012, was hit, you know, quite hard in terms of revenues when the first COVID lockdown hit. You know, and it we've had to do a lot to recover and get back to a really good place. But silver linings, the initial time it freed up in my calendar for those first few months of COVID, where lots of in-person delivery got postponed and so on, it gave me time to get my app developed. So last autumn I soft launched the LifeWork Success app, which is it's kind of effectively a coaching tool in a mobile app that kind of includes some of my best tips and methodology on how to improve work-life balance and boost productivity and performance at work. So we soft launched that last year to really good effect. And then at the moment, we provide that in a package alongside my Life Work Success Transformation course, which obviously is all delivered virtually. To give an example, we tested this as well, of course, last year. On average, every leader and entrepreneur that goes through the course and uses the app, they're saving 430 hours, working hours per year, which works out more than 10 hours a week. Wow. What we then do is we then coach them on through live sessions and through the app. We coach them on how they can either use, if they're overworking, using some of those hours saved to reduce their working hours and have a happier life and more time for the kids and date nights and fitness and all that important stuff.
Sure. Yep.
And or the other time we use it to help them reallocate that time to more senior, more higher value creation tasks that are typically tasks they enjoy and they're skilled at. So they can have, you can have a better work-life balance and achieve a lot more. And that's certainly what I learned from the hard way from when I came back from the burnout, which many people don't come back from, suicide, all those other issues can come from sort of mental health and so on. So
absolutely. Yeah. It's a topic for another day, but I think the mental health issues that we're storing up at the moment through our lockdown strategy are going to come back big time.
Yes,
and we're going to have a lot of issues to resolve in the coming years.
Yes, agree.
But it's been a pleasure talking to you, Daryl. Thank you so much for coming back onto the Bunker Show after all these years. And we won't leave you so long until we invite you back again. If people want to find out about the work you do, the coaching, the mentoring, the courses, and indeed the app and everything else, what's the best way of doing that?
Well, I'm pretty active on most social media channels. I've got my own YouTube channel. I'm on LinkedIn. I've got my own website. It's darylwoodhouse.com. So you can find me. You can write to me through there. You can find my social channels. But Daryl Woodhouse, spelled D-A-R-Y-L, Woodhouse, as it sounds, .com.
Right.
And always happy to jump on a call with people, give some advice, give some support. We all need a bit of help at the moment, especially with this extended lockdown.
Absolutely.
And I like to help. So
fantastic. Daryl, thank you so much for that. We've put the details onto the Kent Business Radio website. So if you didn't catch that, it's all on there. You can find Daryl's website and then going to his website will give you all the other information you need. Daryl, thank you so much. Stay safe. We'll see you again soon and take care.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Paul. All the best.
Bye.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. That was Daryl Woodhouse. Fascinating discussion about mentoring, coaching, support and all things business related. Tracy Ferguson just tweeted, really enjoyed the interview with Daryl. Great point about changing your mentor as your business or development needs change. It makes so much sense and gives a completely new perspective too. Do you know what? I agree, Tracy. And I hadn't really thought about that before. I spend a lot of my time telling people to find someone to coach or mentor them. But it hadn't really struck me before that, of course, once you do that, over time, your needs may change, as you grow and develop, go in different directions and need a different type of expertise or a different type of support. So I think that was a really, really important point. Keep your tweets coming. We've still had loads of tweets coming in, and I am going to try and catch up with them all. And we got some information to share with you. We got another interview to hear in the second half of the show. Going to catch up with Jules in the second half of the show too. I had a tweet from the Street Soccer Foundation. Their Twitter handle, which you will need, is Street Soccer FDN. You can follow them and find the Street Soccer United podcast is back with special guests and serial entrepreneur. Oh, that would be me. You can watch the full podcast. Oh, you don't want to look at it. Put your dark glasses on if you get this up. Just listen to it. Don't look. It's a YouTube video. It's a podcast. It's with the Street Soccer Foundation and me. If you follow Street Soccer Foundation, Street Soccer FDN on Twitter, you can see the link for their YouTube channel. So check that out. Nurse Liz, who I was talking about earlier over there in Pennsylvania, and with their snow, I was asking how cold it was, and she's saying it's a low of 16 degrees Fahrenheit. What's that, about -8, up to a whopping high of 29 Fahrenheit, which is about -1. So pretty chilly. So I hope you're safe, Liz, and I hope you got your drive cleaned off and shoveled up, and that you're now sat in the warm drinking tea. Michael Park Surveyors, my lovely surveyors over there in Medway, commercial surveyors, all things commercial property. They say, thank you, Paul. Can we have a Business Bunker shout out? We love Business Bunker shout outs. I'll tell you what, we love Michael Park Surveyors too. MPSL on the Twitter. Do give them a follow. Mid Kent Mind say, have a great show. Have a great day, Paul. Well, thank you so much. That's very kind. Martin Reeves of Charity Buddy, hope you're having a great show. Thank you so much. Ibiza Fitness Foods. Business Bunker, hello. It's your Ibiza Fitness Food meal team here. We love creating new dishes for you all. They've got a picture here which is roast chicken breast with red wine, polenta, cabbage, jerk chicken, spiced rice and pineapple chutney. Who else can't wait for their delivery in the UK to arrive this week? Oh, check that out. Oh, there's some nice stuff looking there. They sent some pictures of this food. Follow them on Twitter. IBZ Fitness Food is their Twitter handle. IBZ Fitness Food. Give them a follow. The lovely Vicky from Pink Spaghetti. It's lovely to listen live again to the Business Bunker show. Hope you have an amazing show, Paul and Jules. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Vicky. I'm glad you could join us. I know how busy you've been just recently, and I know you've been listening on catch up, but it is nice to have you join us live. So thank you for that. We hope to be getting Vicky on the show as a guest in March. So really looking forward to that as well. Tracy Ferguson says, listening live, having a great show, Paul and Jules, and guests. Well, thank you, Tracy. What else have we got? We got loads of photographs of Wonder Chup, who we're going to be talking to in the second part of the show, that Jules is posting, but we'll come to that later. I want to tell you about this. The Kenwood Trust, which is a charity based at Yalding, just outside Maidstone. And they say, we're looking for donations of seeds, which we can plant in our therapeutic gardens. Specifically, they're looking for herbs, lavender and vegetables other than beans. If you can help, please get in touch with us by dropping an email to Katie Darvell. I'll give you her email address in a moment. Well, I'll give it to you now. It's Katie, K-A-T-I-E, dot Darvell, D-A-R-V-E-L-L, at kenwoodtrust.org.uk, and Kenwood is spelt Ken, K-E-N-W-A-R-D, kenwoodtrust, all one word, .org.uk, or you can call them on Maidstone, 01622 814187. That's 01622 814187. Or you can look at their website, which is kenwoodtrust.org.uk. Do check it out, and if you can give them any seeds to plant in their therapeutic garden, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Okay. Many organisations took advantage of the COVID-19 VAT payment deferral scheme, which allowed them to defer VAT payments falling due between the 20th of March 2020 and the 30th of June 2020, and they were deferred until this March, the 31st of March 2021. Well, HMRC has recently issued new guidance on the process of extending the deferral by a year, so that you can now extend it to the end of March 2022, which would have given you 2 whole years to pay your VAT. The deferral scheme will be available to all businesses who deferred VAT on February, March, April, or May 2020. HMRC have currently not opened the opt-in system to apply for the scheme, but I have said it will open in early 2021. So we're assuming that's going to be in the next couple of weeks. Once open, the scheme will allow you to pay in a number of instalments from 2 to 11 equal monthly payments. The first instalment is due once you opt into the scheme. But before the scheme is open, please check the following are in place to enable a smooth registration process. All of your VAT returns must have been submitted up to date. Have your government gateway details to hand. This must access your VAT account. And have details of the amount you originally deferred, less any payments you may have already made. So as soon as that opens on the HMRC website, we'll let you know. But if you deferred your payments last year, you've now got an extra year in order to pay them back, which could be useful in helping with cash flow should we ever get unlocked and get back to work. We've been running a story recently about a company called Story 22 that were looking for charities, and I've got some news on the outcome of that. Two ambitious charities have been selected to receive specialist marketing support from Story 22 after the Kent-based marketing agency ran a competition throughout December. The awardees are RSPCA Canterbury and District, which responds to animals in need, and the Surrey-based Jigsaw Trust, which raises awareness and supports people affected by autism. They were selected from entries received from charities across London and the South East to receive tailored marketing to support their charity objectives throughout the year. Keith Aldis, who is the RSPCA Canterbury District Chair, said, "We're extremely thrilled and grateful to be selected to receive support from Story 22. COVID-19 has hit our charity very hard, closing our shops, reducing income and stopping us being able to reach out to many of our supporters. Thinking differently about how we can connect to our communities and raise the profile of our charity is essential if we're to continue to survive to support animals that are so in need in our patch, and we can't wait to get started." So a lovely story there. Congratulations to Story 22 and to RSPCA Canterbury and District and to the Jigsaw Trust. And we look forward to your new marketing campaigns supported by Story 22. Fantastic. And what else have we got? How about an award? Do you fancy an award? It would be nice to get back to awards, wouldn't it? And our awards ceremonies. Awards celebrate hard work, success, and are great for PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, you can enter the free Maidstone Canterbury or Ashford Business Awards for 2021. There's a number of categories. I think there's something like 12 categories in each of the geographic areas. And Maidstone Canterbury and Ashford is just the focal point. It is a general area around there. So, you know, if you're based in the general area of Maidstone or Canterbury East Kent or Maidstone South Kent, Ashford South Kent, you can enter the awards in a number of categories. And I do hear a rumour that, all things being equal and being allowed, there will be a joint awards dinner in November. And I'm really looking forward to chairing that, because I haven't chaired one for over a year now and I miss them. But if you'd like to find out more about these awards and or to enter, if you go to the website www.businessawardskent.co.uk, you can indeed find out all about the awards 2021 for Maidstone, Canterbury and Ashford. We're going to kind of join the newsroom any moment now, I do believe. And when we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. And I'm also going to catch up with Jules and find out what she's been up to. So for the moment, let's go over to the newsroom.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.